Amen. Good morning, church. It is so good to be here. You have voices of angels in this crowd. Beautiful voices. It's beautiful. It is so good to be here and to recognize so many loved faces. It's so great. My heart was so moved to see you, Jamila, when I just came in. We went to Cuba recently and we met the church leader there, and we were supposed to see Jamila and Jorge in Cuba, but they were here in Ottawa. So it's a long trip to see you, sister. You know, 2 hours drive is better, eh? We had a great time. We had a great time in Cuba, and we're looking forward to go back again. For the beach, for sure, but for you guys also. You are an incredible, incredible fellowship. It is so encouraging, you know, to see, you know, what God has forged in this country in the last 30 years. And it's so easy to take for granted what we have, you know, coming here and feeling the love of Howard and Karen and all of you guys. You know, it is special that from one province to another, one city to another, we can have the same spirit, the same tenderness towards each other. And we may be imperfect and sinners, but the spirit is good and brings us together in a special bond so we can be thankful over and over again, because we are preparing heaven together. Amen. And this is what makes me feel and think that, you know, like, God is not just calling us to be a church. He's calling us to be His church, His beloved church. And we are always one generation away from losing from sight the dream, the vision, and the heart of God about His church and His people. If you read the scriptures carefully, you will see this everywhere in the Bible. From the beginning in Eden, when you're looking at the story of God's people coming out from Egypt, and then in the book of Judges, and then with kings, David, Solomon, and all the others, and then, finally, the apostles and Christ and their generation and the next generations, were always very close to live the dream, but always very close to lose the dream. It doesn't take much time to lose the passion and the conviction about our call to be God's bride, God's church. And we need to reconquer over and over the vision and the dream to follow Christ. Are you with me? When I think about what we went through in the 5, 7, 8 first years of 2000, you know, we went through a crisis. But we should not be surprised about that, because this is history. This is the way history was written in the Bible, through crisis and bold decisions to write again with God our story. It is always the way it goes. 20 years, 25 years, 30 years of passion, and then something happens. And then people, they need to wake up, ask the right questions, and go back on the narrow path. I would like to share with you this morning a few thoughts on a topic that can truly inspire greatness in our personal lives and fellowship as well. And this is why, you know, like, the title of the message is Crisis, Dreams, and Miracles. So my first point is crisis. Crisis. Because this is where it starts. And there are many definitions of crisis in the dictionary, but I'll give you one. It's my favorite one. Okay? Listen to this. A time when a difficult or important decision must be made. As a crisis point of history. And if you look at the synonyms of this definition of crisis, critical point, turning point, crossroads, watershed, head, moment of truth, zero hour, point of no return, oof, doomsday, oh please, and more. And if we look at the next slide, please. When we look at the word crisis in Chinese, it's made of two characters: danger and opportunity. Danger and opportunity. And it's very easy to stay, you know, like focus on the danger part of it. You know? There's a writer, Alan Chalmers, who says, crisis refine life. In them, you discover what you are. And I would say even more, who you are. Because danger and opportunity come together when we think about, you know, like crisis. And at times we are afraid to call a situation in our life crisis because it puts us in a position of humble awareness of what's going on with our life, our couple, our family, our ministry, our church, our world, and a choice between two paths: passivity, indifference, fear, self-pity, or change. Taking opportunity of a crisis to do something with God and to see something that we cannot imagine. And I truly believe that crisis is part of God's plan. No crisis, no growth. Ask a teenager. The smell of a teenager. You know, like the imbalance. I remember at 15 years old, I was wearing like 12 size shoes already. And my nose seemed bigger than it is now. It was such a moment of crisis. But a necessary path, you know, to adulthood. Amen? And this is, you know, like a great truth about crisis in any kind of situation. I'm not a super hockey fan. Are there any hockey fans in the room here? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Come on. Well, if you're not a hockey fan, listen to this. The 2014-15 Ottawa Senators season was the 23rd season for the National Hockey League team. After an eventful regular season, the team returned to the NHL playoffs after not qualifying in the 2013-14 NHL season. Since 96, the team has not missed the playoff in consecutive seasons. With the team at 500 in early December, general manager Brian Murray fired head coach Paul McLean, replacing him with assistant coach Dave Cameron. After being 14 points out of a playoff spot at the start of February, the Senators rallied behind the outstanding playoff call-up goaltender Andrew Hammond down the stretch and qualified for the playoffs in the last game of the regular season. For his play, Hammond nicknamed the Hamburglar. I thought it was Hamburger at the beginning, especially with my level of English, you know. He gained league-wide attention, named as NHL Star of the Month and Week. Two rookies had outstanding seasons. Stone Hu was nominated for the Calder Memorial Trophy, tied for the lead in points among rookies, and Mike Hoffman led all rookies in goal scoring. First-year captain Eric Carlson led the team in scoring with 66 points and was nominated for the James Norris Memorial Trophy as the league's top defenseman. In the playoffs, you know what happened? The Senators meet Montreal Canadiens. It was a rematch of the 2013 series that was won by the Senators. And this year, they fell behind 3-0, and Ottawa came back with two big wins. We know the rest of the story. But listen to this. Before the season, it was learned that manager Murray had cancer, for which he underwent treatment weekly during the season. Although he continued in his duties as general manager, in March 2015, it was learned that the assistant coach, Mark Reeds, also had cancer. Reeds died on the eve of the playoffs, and the team dedicated their play to Reeds. Owner Eugene Melnyk was too ill to attend the playoffs and received a liver transplant. in May 2015 after a public appeal to donors. What do you say to this? I'm in crisis? This is, you know, like 10 crises together. But ask the senators where they are now, in their hearts, in their minds. They will do incredible next year. That's for sure. Because out of crisis comes life, vision, and dreams. In the same way, take any great stories in the Bible and you will find a crisis. What do you think about any great story? Go for it. You can raise your hand. Great stories in the Bible. Name it. Esther, super crisis. They're gonna kill the Jews, all of them. Another story. Pardon me? David and Goliath. You want a crisis? They were like panic, afraid, 40 days of other crisis. Joseph. Would you exchange your life with Joseph? Oh, yes, indeed. Indeed. Moses. I mean, this is why he had no heir at the end. You know, like, it's so intense with the people. Job. Oh, my goodness. Jesus. His life was a constant crisis. All the time. All the time. Those names are in the Bible because crisis. I mean, no crisis, no Bible. No heroes. No faith. No stories. And sometimes we're there, you know, like running away from crisis when in fact it should be, you know, like not necessarily what we call upon us. Obviously. But we should understand our Christianity in a way that if we are not going through crisis in our lives, there's something wrong. Because when you seek to walk like Christ, you bring crisis on you. But then, it forces you to depend on Jesus and makes you grow and enjoy grace and God's power and providence in a way that is incredible. It can take so many forms in our lives. Accidents, sickness, major disappointment with your parents or with a friend, major change in work situation, cuts, salary cut, job cuts, whatever cuts. You lose a friend, a family member. You are betrayed, abandoned by someone you love. You go to a new school, you're intimidated at school, you're overwhelmed with what's going on. You failed an exam, a session. You have no impact with your faith. You have no visitors. You've not been studying the Bible for months or years with non-Christians. You have lesser and lesser joy coming worshiping God. The ministry you're part of is flat or shrinking. Or your leader or source of inspiration has just left the city to go somewhere else. Are all these situations, and you can add to the list, are so many occasions for us to step up and to take charge. God designed life so tough or unexpected situations are the very opportunities for God's glory to be revealed and our faith to be powerfully enhanced. We will therefore have to be shakers of our lives, not spectators. Shakers of our lives. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, also one of the shortest stories in the Bible, is the story of Enoch. And it's very interesting because I've preached about Enoch twice in my life. Many years ago in a campus retreat and today. And it's funny because many years ago to that campus retreat, there were people from Ottawa were there. I thought about this as I was preparing my lesson. I said, wait a second. Francis and Aniara, they were there. I think that Gustavo was there too, eh? Yeah, they were like 5-6 disciples from Ottawa who came, you know, with the ministry. We had like campus and singles. We had a blast. And I shared about Enoch. And as I was thinking about crisis, I said, why not like taking the time to meditate on the story of this incredible man? Just a few verses in the Bible, but incredible Incredible verses. Look with me in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5, verse 19 to 24. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then we know that his son lived for 969 years. The oldest dude in the Bible. You know, just before, you know, like, you're like, is he going to make it to 1,000? Just under the, you know, like the psychologic bar, you know, like. This is an incredible story. And this passage does not tell us a lot about, you know, like the life of Enoch. But enough to know that the birth of Methuselah was the defining moment of a radical change and decision in Enoch's heart. It was a moment of crisis. Why it was a moment of crisis? Because he was raising a son in a very corrupt generation. He probably was even in a great distress to think that the world would have a messy impact on his son. It made him search for wisdom and truth. Read with me in Jude. This is one of the last books of the Bible. We're going to read two verses together. Very interesting scriptures in the context of the lesson because they talked about Enoch. Jude verse 14 and 15. Just before Revelation. The Bible says, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the arch things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We see here that Enoch, and history confirmed that, Enoch wrote a book that was, in fact, found in the discovery of Qumran. It's not in the Bible, but we know that he wrote a book in which he was prophesying and obviously addressing the incredible sin of his generation. And we see that at the age of 65, something happened that made him commit to something incredible with God. And the rest is history, written in the Bible. And with Elijah, he is the only prophet who didn't taste death, for he was taken away. And if you read in Hebrews 6 verse 5, that's what the Bible says. He pleased God. He pleased God. God saw Enoch and was delighted in his son. Truly, Enoch was a disciple of Jesus. Many of us here are parents like Enoch. And we feel distressed as we consider the general spirit of this generation. We have, like Enoch, felt this inner crisis. Or maybe you feel it now. I look at my daughter, Lily. She's 8 years old. Caleb is 4. And they are exposed to a lot of things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And it would be so easy to not think about it. But I need to think about it. What kind of father and disciple of Jesus do I want to be for my children? This question is paramount. And we live in a generation that is so comfortable and where comfort and sin are so meshed together that if we don't take the bull by the horns, being courageous men and women of God, the wind of the world will sweep our children and the next generation. Are you with me on this? Yes, you know, people are not killing each other at the corner of the street in Ottawa. We know that. But, you know, like, the devil is very subtle here. And he knows how to keep people sleeping. Enoch and his generation had to make an incredible decision to start seeking for God. And the Bible says that at 65, that was the time. That was the time. And I must share with you this morning that I feel like this. You know, like Danny and Julianne, they deeply felt compelled by the Spirit to move to Hamilton to lead the church there. And my heart is like stretched. We're losing Danny and Julianne. Stanley and Dominique, who were used to serve the full-time ministry in Montreal with us, they are also like working full-time now. So that now I'm with Debbie, and we have like Dennis, who serves in the campus ministry. And we have Edna, who's also helping. You know, she's working full-time, but also helping. And there's the Quebec church who needs our love and support. And I also feel, you know, the need to be close to Ottawa and to close to Toronto and close to Paris. And my heart is like, I feel in a crisis. I'm in a crisis mode. I feel like that. And when I go walk outside and I pray God, you know, I feel like that my heart is like a nutcracker, you know. And that, you know, the hand of the Spirit is like, wants to crush and free my heart. That's how I feel. And sometimes I don't share that with my wife because I don't want to overwhelm her, but this is, you know, how I feel. I have the responsibility to be a good husband, to be a good father, to love all the brothers and the sisters all the time. You know what I'm talking about? You know, all the time. And I know that they have that very subtle expectation about me. Yes. And it's right. But it's hard. And you know, like the question that I hear from God is, do you want to grow, my son? Do you want to grow? Oh, good question. Sometimes I don't know if I want to grow, you know? My second point, crisis and dreams. Don't we worship an incredible God? Don't you feel special this morning to be personally loved by the Creator Almighty? Isn't it mind-boggling that this beautiful galaxy, which contains 1 million millions of stars, is one among more than a billion galaxies? And here we are this morning. The same incredible being who planned so perfectly and mightily Andromeda is even more excited about your life and the church. The church and your life is what matters the most to God. And He created that so we could understand His power and His goodness. If God lays out a perfect plan for a supernova, what does He have in mind for your life and for our fellowship? This is how we understand that crises are always open doors on glory. Always. These are probably the kind of thoughts that filled Enoch's heart as he began a very special friendship with God. Enoch is considered in many very ancient sources to be the first astronomer, stargazer. His walk with God transformed him deeply and made him a worshiper so in tune with God that he was taken away by his Maker. Enoch, as he was amazed by the sky, not having the instruments that we have today, I can imagine Enoch every night sitting on his porch and looking at heaven and trying to figure out God's creation. And I think that part of our Christian life, contemplation, is so important. Are you a contemplative spirit? Because you cannot dream for your life, for the church, for the city, if you're not close to God. And you cannot be close to God if you don't contemplate. If you don't use the word, prayer, and meditation to see life as it is, far bigger than your problems, far bigger than your mourning when you wake up with bad breath and you have a 9-hour shift ahead of you. Life is far bigger than that. And that's one thing that probably old Enoch, faithful for 300 years, he had to be reminded day after day that his hope was in heaven, not on earth. He set his hope in heaven. If you look in the scriptures, wherever you go, in the Old and the New Testament, look with me in Psalm 25. And I hope I don't take too much time here, Howard. Psalm 25. Verse 12. Listen to this. Listen to these verses. I read this and I'm like, wow, I want to go just alone in a park and dream. Who is the man, verse 12, Psalm 25, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and if his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. In French, it says, in other words, that God wants to share his thoughts, his dreams, his vision with you. But if you don't open up daily, if you don't open up your heart, your mind to his greatness and to his promises and to the depth of his knowledge, how can you see? How can we see? And I think that the devil wants us, you know, to keep us away from those times of peace and calmness where we can regroup and see again. Because with perspective comes freedom. With perspective comes hope. Are you with me? When we're caught in the details and the assaults of life, like, there's no hope. I mean, it's like this. But if I take distance and I'm able to see the big picture and let my heart be freed by the Spirit who lives inside of it through the wonders of God, then life takes a different meaning. And for sure, picture. Let's go back to the basics, guys. How great are your Bible studies? Are you reading, singing the Psalms? I am blown away. Even in Montreal, Quebec City, we've lost that worshipful experience, the daily worshipful experience. Singing every day. Reading Psalms, praying through the Psalms every day. This is a privilege. And we make it a duty. How shameful. We are the most blessed children on earth. And we have access to incredible wisdom and strength. You remember that scripture in the Psalm? I think it's Psalm 85 or 85, 81, 81. Yeah. The Lord says to his people, I said to you, open your mouth. I'm going to fill it. But you said, no, I prefer my ways. God says, open it. Open it. But our nature brings us back. No. I love this. Well, this is miserable. This is miserable. What are your dreams for God and with God? And what are your deepest aspirations in God's kingdom? You must take the time to ask this question and answer this question. We have a lot of means. We have health. We have time. We have money. We have incredible people to dream with. There's so many things that can be done in our cities. And sometimes we dream small. When I went to Cuba, we baptized an incredible guy in Montreal. His name is Juvan Benitez Gonzalez. Incredible guy. Benitez. And we start to dream together, you know, and he's a doctor. He's an incredible guy. Passionate. Listen to this. He is an ORL surgeon. He left Cuba to come to Montreal. He's doing his nursing class in Cégep College. The guy studied all his life to be a surgeon. You see him in a room, he's like, his smile is, he's so passionate. He found God. He said, compared to all this, Jesus is incredible. He weighs 235 pounds, but he walks in the, you know, like, he doesn't touch the ground when he walks. He's so fired up. Do you remember that time in your life when you found God? And we baptized another guy in the campus last week. His name is William Ramirez. Chic guy, you know, like, always, you know, well-dressed and always chic and walks perfectly. And this week he looked at me and he said to me, he said, I realize how vain I am. And he says, I was so blind. And it's so good to hear it from young Christian. Because, I mean, it reminds you, oh yeah, it's true. Something incredible happened in my life 15, 20 years ago. But you can conquer that again. You can conquer that again. Every day. I'm 47. And I hope that at 87, if God gives me those years on earth, I'll be crazier than today for God. For sure. For sure. Do you want to finish your life like, no vision, shrinking, being in desperation and dying? Bitter? We need to take away the glory now. If we don't take the glory now, what makes us think that we will in 20 years? This is a lie. We need to take away the glory land now. My third point, crisis, dreams, and miracles. I like this. If you don't believe in miracles, perhaps you've forgotten you are one. 65 years far from God, Enoch. 65 years far from God. That gives us hope. It's true. If you've been feeling far from God for 2 years, 3 years, well, you know what? Today can be the day of the best day of your life. 65 years, then 300 years of walk with God. And then he was taken away. Can you imagine that? I believe that Enoch was so passionate about God, so excited to see him, that God answered his prayer. Think about it. Who prays that God will take him away? If not for... Oh, Aniara does that. Well, be careful, Francis. If I were you, I would enjoy these few days. Something could happen. But it's true. Who prays that? Only someone who really, really is excited about God. Who really wants to see God. And I suppose that after 100 years, listening Enoch saying, I'm so looking forward to be with you, take me with you. God says, you know what? My good and faithful servant. You've been praying that for 100 years. Come on now. Can you imagine? Imagine the scene. Imagine the heart of Enoch, his spirit. At last, I imagine him crying. Crying of joy. And I think this is the way God wants us to live our lives. Crying of joy when we are with God. Being amazed and inspired day after day. Look with me in James chapter 1. This will be our last scripture for today. James 1, verse 2 to 5. I love this scripture. And I realize as a young church leader that I have so much to learn. And as I think about what I have to learn about leadership and loving not only more, but loving in different ways and opening my eyes to the suffering community of Montreal and being able to reach the people in ways that I have not even thought about, you know, like, I see why, you know, it takes a couple of years before we go back home, because we have so much things to learn. And James 1, verse 2 to 5 makes it clear. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials, crisis, of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. The greatest miracle is not to be taken away. It is the fruit of your perseverance. Enoch was to be taken away by God. No conclusion, just life for him. Well, I don't think that you or I will experience this, but I know for sure that our destination will be exactly the same. Because we are persevering. And because we want to go through this all the way, because we know that this is part of our call to become more like Jesus. To become more like our big brother. Our friend. Our master. And so we can, you know, like, set our eyes on personal goals. This is a card that Danny prepared, I think it's 2 years ago, for the church. And he had a stack of cards left, and I said, why not bringing them to Ottawa, you know? And maybe we can pass this, you know, to the fellowship. One card, everyone. We'll look at it together. So on this, on the first side of the card, you see the Grand Canyon. 277 miles from one point to the other. That's approximately 400 kilometers. Maybe the distance between here and Quebec City. A little bit more. Can you imagine? And the geologist, this is the way we say the geologist, they say that the rocks, some of the rocks of the Grand Canyon, are 1 billion years old. This is amongst the oldest, you know, like, terrain that they have explored. And when we look at the Grand Canyon, we see beauty. We see magnificence, power. We are like breathtaking. But when we think about this, geologically speaking, it's a very suffering experience for the rock. A very suffering experience for, and it takes a lot of time. And when I think about our lives, it's like that. I think that, you know, like Jesus is there sitting, you know, like at our destiny, and he's looking at our lives and he's like, don't give up. Don't give up. I'm there with you. And I know it's tough. I know it's painful. And I know that sometimes it may go through a time. But you know what? I am at work in your life. And one day, you will be amazed at what I did in your life. And it's good to think about all the way that God has, you know, walked with us since the day of our baptisms. And to see what God has done in our character, in our marriage, with our children, with our friends, every aspect of our lives. It's like rock. God is at work. digging deeply in our hearts, in our lives, in the circumstances of our daily lives, so something incredible can come out of it. And I think it's the same thing for the fellowship here in Ottawa and in Montreal. If you look on the other side, it says, what do you want me to do for you? I think that God is asking us this question over and over again. And God wants us to think about this. Have you sat down and thought truly about this question that Jesus asked so clearly? Because God is ready to do something incredible with your life. But first of all, you need to really commit to an intimate and consistent relationship with your Creator. It says, it is not the greatness of my faith that moves mountain, but my faith in the greatness of God. And let's be reminded that God is great and have something incredible for your church in Ottawa and for our church throughout Canada. What can our fellowship here look like if we embrace with passion God's invitation to dream and fight for those dreams? I see disciples excited to embrace the dream to see this country deeply touched by God's grace, excited to try and risk. I see brothers and sisters of our different churches, Montreal, Ottawa, Kingston, Toronto, Halifax, Cuba, building friendships and dreaming together. I see people inspired to sacrifice for the cause, being ready to go anywhere, do anything for the gospel. I see leaders working hand in hand and building an incredible unity through the bond of love and passion for Christ. I see teens being excited to inspire their generation with the dream of a radically different kind of life. I see campus students so passionate that they have a decisive impact on the future decision makers of this country, influencing many towards righteousness. I see singles being bold to create, inspire, and getting involved in so many organizations which influence the destiny of our nation, and making the 2015 conference a powerful testimony of faith and passion for Jesus. I see Marys who shine by changing their local communities by being a light through service, hospitality, and community work. What do you see? Let's decide to let God build as we all fight to have His heart. Let's decide to renew our commitment to dream and move forward so God will build His out like never before in this beautiful city of Ottawa. Let's see every crisis or challenge as a call to greatness, and to our wonderful God be all the glory. Amen. Thank you so much.